Welcome to episode 20 of the Reading Coves podcast. If you're a book lover who may be interested in joining our online book club, please visit our website at thereadingcove.com. For July 2012, we're discussing Michael Vay, The Prisoner of Cell 25 by Richard Paul Evans. So hi, I'm Melania, the co-founder, and I'm in Florida.
I'm Roberta, and I live near Atlanta, Georgia.
I'm Monica. I live in Nebraska.
And we're here to discuss Michael Vay, The Prisoner of Cell 25 by Richard Paul Evans, which is our 140th Cove pick. And it was chosen by Cove member Joyce. And we're just going to dive right in. Monica, since you just finished the book and it's so fresh for you, tell us what you thought.
I liked it a lot better than I thought I would.
Yeah, me too. And
I think it's one of those, it's a sci-fi fantasy for people that don't like sci-fi fantasy. Because, you know, that's not my genre, but I really enjoyed it. And it had a lot of, I think unlike other ones that are like that, it doesn't confuse people. It's got enough normal things happening too that you can keep up. And then you're not thinking, okay, is this real? Is this not real? I always get lost in books like those. But this one, actually, I understood all the way through. So I really enjoyed it.
And you, Roberta?
Well, I did too. I read a little bit of sci-fi, not as much as I used to at one time. And it seems like that in recent times, there's been a lot of these authors who've crossed over from adult to young adult. And there's still that appeal. You don't have to be a teenager to relate to it. They seem to have targeted a good market where a cross-section of people can enjoy the same material. And you can still relate to it.
Well, I enjoyed it. I gave it a B. I think it's a solid B, and it held my interest all the way throughout it. Sometimes it was a really good page turner where you couldn't, you know, I couldn't put it down. I had to know exactly what was going to happen next with Michael and the Electro Clan, and how the Elgin, what they were going to do to them. Because the fact that they kidnapped, the scene I really want to talk about, when they kidnapped Michael's mom outside the restaurant. Why did they not take him? I mean, the reasoning that they gave was that Austin came out, and so they couldn't get Michael. But I'm like, they could have gotten Michael at any time. I didn't get that. So there were some portions where it was like you have to suspend some disbelief, but I didn't mind it in this book because it still came across as a real, you know, something I could see actually happening. It had a lot of realism, I thought.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it wasn't too much out in, you know, the la-la land where, you know, you think it's totally unbelievable how the modern teenager's life and what they have to deal with it, along with these sort of sci-fi points to it.
Right, right. But yeah, there were still some points where I was like, okay. Like the end when Hatch takes off in the helicopter. I'm like, Michael and what's his name, Zach or Zeus?
Zeus.
They could have stopped them. It's like they were just kind of standing there and watched them escape. It's like, so the next book can continue. And I'm like, no, they could have. I felt like there was an opportunity for them to get them. But anyway, it didn't really detract from my enjoying the story. And I can see why it has such a great appeal for, middle school kids and high school kids.
Yeah, especially since, all except for Taylor, these were people that were sort of like misfits anyway, especially poor Austin. You know, here he even had a name that had been misspelled since birth. And then, you know, like, he was kind of a geeky and overweight. So, you know, he was a misfit. And then poor, here the main character, Michael, has the Tourette's, which would make you hard to fit in any group, especially being the new kid. So he was just like, might as well had a target on his back, like, you know, pick on me.
Yeah, and like I was saying in the group a bit, that I felt like it was a little bit heavy-handed on the Michael's having a crap time at school thing. That principal was over the top, because I can't imagine a principal speaking to a child like that who's being bullied.
Well, yeah, especially the way things are nowadays. I mean, you see things now, the poor principals have to be afraid to do anything, or the parents will go after them. They're really sort of caught in the middle a lot of times.
Exactly. exactly. But I would imagine that he would have tried to do something because he's, you know, making the school liable, basically, in the way he was handling it. But, you know, I just took
it as... Well, I think it makes it more real because I think a lot of times victims of bullying don't get a lot of help from schools, and I think they're trying to change that. And I think that's why he really kind of made the principal the bad guy, because it kind of showing, you know, bullying really is a problem, and the school kind of, I mean, a lot of times teachers stand back. They don't want to get involved.
No, I know that. I know the school can sometimes be, and in most cases aren't as helpful as people would like them to be. But he still felt like, you know, he didn't even remotely handle it in any kind of, you know, appropriate fashion at all.
Well,
and
yeah,
like you said, he was maybe, like Monica was saying, that the author wanted to make it extreme, you know, for that reason, to demonstrate that they're really useless. They don't do anything.
Yeah, that there's not so much help for people being bullied as there should be, unfortunately, right, even in this day and age.
Exactly. And then when Michael shocks them, I was like, why haven't you been doing that all along? You know, but then it's like, well, his mom, you know, they're trying to lay low and he can't go around shocking people.
No.
But I was why weren't you, zapping them all along?
No, I guess he was afraid he'd get in trouble, especially with his mom, even more so than the school. Since they'd already made such a big deal about, well, we had to move because of all these other things. So I guess he's afraid he'd be letting his mother down, you know, more than anything else. But then he feared he didn't have much choice. He had to do something.
Yeah, because they were, you know, really starting to become a threat to his safety.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's crazy. And then my other question is, how, I don't know if it was answered or I don't think it was, but how is it that Taylor and Michael ended up in the same town in Idaho and at the same school and in the same class? Was that just a coincidence?
Yeah, I think it was just serendipity, you know, just because, like I said, she had been adopted.
Right.
And Michael and his mother had just, you know, moved to get away
nowhere,
from the
exactly.
past. Yeah. But it was just one of those weird serendipity type things. But
I wonder if it is, or if there's something we're going to learn in the next book.
That could be true, too.
That
maybe
was no
Michael's mom and her adopted parents or something, kind
exactly.
of. I don't know. Maybe the mom's got some inner insight on things. I don't know. Maybe
the mother
she
does.
Him.
She knew quite a bit because his father was involved with them. His father
right,
worked
with the,
for
the research,
hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah, he worked at the hospital and he was involved in that MEI machine.
Right.
So they probably do know a lot more, and there's probably more reason to why they kidnapped his mom, you know, than just to torture him.
Yeah, well, like I said, that's probably what's going to be in the next book. They'll probably tell more since she's, you know, at the end of this, she's still, you know, MIA. So, you know, he's got to find out what happened to his mom.
And she was going to talk to him about his dad, so there might be more than meets the eye on the dad's involvement, which really makes you want to read the next one because there's so many unanswered questions in this book where you can't leave it at, I might read it, I might not. You pretty much have to if you want to know more.
You have to, because if you need to know whether or not they find his mom, if she's alive, because they were torturing her pretty badly when they were trying to get him to do things.
Right.
Hatch was, when they were trying to control Michael, and... is she going to be alive? You know, what's really going on?
Well, I think they need her alive if they want information from her.
Right, that's true.
And they were going to rescue, and then it stopped. It's like, well, wait a minute, you were just about ready to rescue the mother, and then you got...
yeah, it's done.
It did, and it's one of those books that just kind of ends. It's like watching Lord of the Rings, where they just... The first one just ends, and
major
so the second one ends.
Yeah, and then some members were saying, I think Mary Leone and I forget who else were saying that they didn't really like that. It was like you have to read the next book in order to get the end of the story.
Well, it's a good marketing tool, so you have to buy the next one if you're into buying books,
yeah.
or push your library into buying the next one for you, right?
Yeah, and that's how series usually go, right?
Right.
Trilogies and things like that, they leave you with a major cliffhanger, or they just stop telling the story, and then you gotta pick up the next book to find out what happens. And I'm definitely interested to read Rise of the Elgin, so I want to find out what's gonna happen and what these these people how far they're willing to go to try to take control of the whole world, because that's what it seems like they're trying to do.
Yeah, they're pretty serious, done some pretty evil things already, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then Nichelle, what a character. What did you think of her?
Well, pretty much pure evil.
Pure evil and no emotions at all. The only time she showed emotion was at the end when she was begging for them to spare her.
Yeah, well, right? That's probably the only thing, cared about her own survival, didn't care much about anybody else. Or.
Yeah, I think because when she was talking to Taylor, just the comment she was making about cheerleaders, about, you know, well, what about the ones that don't make the squad and, you know, they're left to feel like nobody's, not good enough, not pretty enough.
Right.
So I think maybe she was treated bad by the, you know, the mean girls in school.
Probably.
And because, I don't know, I saw a lot of parallels with X-Men, and I kind of thought of her more like Mystique.
Oh, I don't follow the X-Men, so I don't know. But it seemed like, and then we know that Hatch was manipulating them and putting certain things, planting things in their mind, like he did with Zeus, because Taylor at the end was able to like take a lot of that programming out of his mind, and that's why he joined the Electro Clan, right?
Right.
So we don't know if that's what happened with Nichelle to some extent, because I mean, her power was pretty much, she was the most powerful.
I'm not afraid to use her power either, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Hatch was, she was the crutch until, you know, he found he couldn't use her anymore. That somebody could actually, you know, neutralize her. And that's okay. Michael. And I think they knew in the tests or studies they'd done on Michael, they knew that he was, you know, because I think Hatch told him that he was the best of them. And that's why they wanted him on their side. So, he, you know, they tried to break Michael so that he would become their right hand, the way Nichelle was.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point, I said. But I guess it was harder with him because he didn't have this attitude and feeling for wanting to get revenge like Nichelle did, though. So
right.
They were going to have a harder time with him, turning him.
Yeah. And what did you think of the Cell 25 of the subtitle?
I don't know. That was like one chapter.
I know. And
I mean, it showed the power of Terror and they were all prisoners in different cells, but I don't know. I mean, it's not a bad title and it kind of gets your attention, but I don't know if it's as fitting as maybe something else would have been.
Yeah, and others were saying in the group that the title really wasn't the best. Something with electric in it, or, you know, I thought maybe something with power even, or, you know, shock in it would have been better.
Yeah, or something like the, you know, the beginning thing or something to signify this was the beginning of a series or something. But
yeah.
So yeah, the Cell 25, the thing was just a very small part towards the very end, so it really wasn't probably the best title, other than maybe the author thought it would catch people's, you know, eye, along with the way the cover was designed.
Yeah, I like the cover. I was saying I really like the silver embossment on the letters.
Yeah, it's a, you know, excellent cover. It's very eye-catching, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is. And it's a good story, and I'm looking forward to following it.
Well, I kind of wanted to bring up the fact Austin, or Michael was making fun of Austin for his clogging.
Mm.
And, you know, that brought up several times. Clogging is actually really cool. You know, he just really laid into the cloggers, and I'm like, well, you know, I like clogging.
Well, you know, but kids pick on each other about different things, and so that's what I chopped it up to. You know, they ought to find something. And Austin was, I must say, he was a very convenient character, but I like how the author, you know, gave him these little characteristics about the name not being the right name, and, you know, his parents had their personalities, and but him being so smart and being able to figure out so many things, and I mean, he was a real asset. If that character wasn't there, I really don't know how Michael and Taylor would have managed. And even the rest of them, when they were, you know, cast down into the dungeon or whatever with the rest of the glows that were not cooperating, because it was Austin who, you know, was able to figure out a lot of things. And if he wasn't there, I don't know what, you know, what they would have done.
Because it's like his brain is figuring out how
he's
to
like
use
a Doogie,
their powers.
Yeah, he's like a Doogie Howser.
Right.
So he was cool, but I'm glad he wasn't just a, you know, he came across as more a more rounded character and not just a convenient character.
Yeah, not just the geeky sidekick
exactly,
in there.
Exactly, who helped the plot along.
Right.
Yeah, so that was good.
So he had his own powers, just not, you know, electrical ones.
Exactly. So they needed each other.
Another part I liked was the car ride when you find out Jack and Wade's family life, because
yes, it
really shows there's, you know, bully for a reason. And he's really, I think, really doing a lot with the bullying and kind of analyzing it, because bullies are usually have bad life situations, and you know, and then with the school board not doing anything, I mean, he was really showing a lot, teaching a lot about how bullying works.
Absolutely, and it was really, I enjoyed Michael and Jack's bonding during the ride to California. I thought that was nice, and how Austin was terrified of Wade.
You know, and I'm actually glad that he made the choice that he did, because given the choice, him over your mother, who would you do? You know, but,
yes,
and I, you know, a lot of people in that situation would have been like, well, I don't want to do this, but I can't let anything happen to my mom. You know, like the guy that took down the plane because of his brother, saving his brother. And, you know, you make choices that you don't want to make to save your family.
Yeah, and
you know,
I liked how Michael said, my mother wouldn't want me to become a killer. She'd say she'd rather die than to know that her son became a murderer. I loved that part.
Mm-hmm.
That was the way out, because, you know, you figure, okay, how's he going to get out of this? Oh, my God, what a choice.
Right.
You know?
That he had to stand up for the value she had instilled in him. Yeah,
exactly.
And it's, you know, more common than you think. You're not the one doing the bad stuff.
Exactly.
Because really, half shouldn't
do anything. That's what the Elgin seem to be all about. Well, they can't really do anything because they're trying to control these very powerful super beings, superhumans, mm-hmm, really. What can he do except manipulate them in this way to work for him and to do their bidding? And then they lavish all these gifts on them when they do, you know, as, mm-hmm, as a way to entice them to come on board. When Michael was it Michael? No, Taylor. Or whoever it was that was first cast down there in the dungeon. I think it was Taylor. And they told,
yes,
her, the other ones told her, Ian, Abigail, and McKenna. And they were like, we're down here. The ones who get to live upstairs in the laps of luxury are there because they were able to, Hatch was able to turn them into murderers.
And I think the reason Hatch was able to do that, I think as soon as he was able to get Nichelle, then he was able to do that, because Nichelle was his form of punishment.
She was his right arm. Yeah.
Yeah. Once he got Nichelle to do his dirty work, then he was able to manipulate everybody else, because by torture, you know, and it's just, I don't know. I mean, I think this is such a complex book, more than, you know, people realize.
Yeah,
I mean,
it
it's a book for, you know, younger kids, but for adults, they can actually grasp, I guess, more adult messages that he's coming out with.
Yeah, it's true. There are a lot of really good themes in the story. And
no,
I think Michael having Tourette's was a good point that, you know, and he wasn't, I mean, they picked on him for his twitching and stuff, but I don't think it was really that bad. I would have thought that the picking on would have been more to do with that, but it didn't seem like it really had a whole lot to do with him having Tourette's.
No, it could be he's the new kid. He's not.
And he wasn't really fighting back. That's why they, you know, anybody who gets bullied, that's why. It's because they feel they can pick on you. You don't pick on someone who's going to give you a heart, give it back, you know? I think that's probably what it was, that he was trying to keep himself in check, because he could surge just by getting angry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's our take on Michael Vay by Richard Paul Evans. And thanks for listening. As always, please continue to leave us your comments and stay tuned for our August episode, where we'll be discussing City of Veils by Zoe Ferraris. See you next month. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.